He was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, reveals himself to the disciples in the Eucharist. The journey to Emmaus, this journey to a deeper faith, is what we do at every Mass. Reading from Scripture, a homily explaining the Scriptures, and then the breaking of the bread and recognizing Christ present in the Eucharist. And he disappears immediately after the breaking of the bread to tell us, to show us that we will no longer see him in the flesh, but in the Eucharist. But that journey of faith has many layers, and the Eucharist will be useless to us if we are not disposed to receive it, if we never listen to the Lord in Scripture, if we do not pray, if we never proclaim it to others, if we are unwilling to even try to avoid sin and unwilling to confess our sins, then we will not recognize Christ in the breaking of the bread. And we will continue our journey in life downcast and without understanding. St. Peter knows the danger of inattentively stumbling along through life. So subtle is this danger of distraction that we can even forget that we are going anywhere at all. We can forget that life is in fact a journey. So both Jesus and Peter call our attention to two points of reference to ground us, to guide us: the past and the future. Peter points to the past with King David. Jesus goes through all of Scripture. Peter speaks of our heavenly hope, and Jesus vanishes, leaving the disciples and us in anticipation of something else. And so many of the problems in the world, in the church, in our own lives, can come from not knowing our history. Imagine if you had no memory at all. Then everything that happened to you would be a surprise. Nothing would make sense. You could not anticipate anything. Expand that lack of memory to months and years, decades, and even centuries. If you do not know what has happened before, you will not be able to grasp fully what happens now. The Middle East, tensions with North Korea. These don't make a whole lot of sense if you don't know the history of division and war that got us to where we are now. So why in the world do people think that this truth doesn't apply to their own faith? How many Christians, how many of us right here, know almost nothing about the history of our faith? Who was Saint Clement? What happened at the councils of Nicaea in Constantinople? What happened in the year 1054 or in 1523? When someone is confused about the divisions between Orthodox and Catholics and Lutherans and Protestants, it might be because they do not know their own past. I'm not saying that we need to memorize dates to know and love God, but we cannot expect to know and love the eternal God if we don't know what he did in time. The disciples on the road to Emmaus have missed the significance of the crucifixion because they miss the significance of their own history. And even though the Jews seem to know their history and know about King David, they misunderstand it because they do not see it with the eyes of faith in the light of God's grace. And even now there is so much confusion in the world and even in our own church about what we believe, about marriage, about men and women, about morality, about the Eucharist. We even fight about the one thing that every Catholic knows, the one thing we do together every week, the Mass. There are arguments about how to do the Mass. And every single one of those arguments, all of those disputes become a lot easier to deal with, to approach and understand, if you realize that you are not an isolated believer, but a member of an ancient church whose core teachings never change, even if emphasis or externals do change. Does your faith not make sense to you? Does something about it seem arbitrary? Then delve into the history, both in Scripture and the history of the church. But don't just read a Wikipedia article. Search with the eyes of faith. Go to those who know and pass on our history and our tradition in the light of faith. And yet, even knowing the past, knowing our tradition, is not enough. When faced with the drudgery of daily life and the murkiness of conflicting points of view, we do need a beacon to guide us home. Where are we headed? What will the future hold for us? The disciples going to Emmaus may not have realized it explicitly, but that vision of the future is part of what excites them so much. The idea that Jesus died and rose and is once again walking around in this miraculous body, well, that opens up a whole new world of possibilities, a whole new future. If he has come back from the grave, so can we. If his body has these mystical properties, so will ours. So how much do you know about the resurrection, about heaven and eternity? Now, God hasn't told us everything about the world to come, but the church does have a considerable collection of teachings and homilies and reflections on what the future glory holds for us. So when your motivation is lacking, when you aren't sure where we're headed, what will happen next, it would be wise to look up, to read and pray with some of these teachings and reflections, because it gives us hope and a sense of meaning and direction. For instance, have you ever been, or are you now, sick or injured? Have you ever had the experience of being unable to make your body do what you want it to do? But that won't be the case in the future. We have figured out a few things about what the resurrected human body will be like because of what we see from Jesus. Even in this passage, it teaches us a little about what we can expect. Our bodies will be able to pass through matter like locked doors and rooms and tombs in the same way that Jesus passes through locked doors, appears and disappears in front of his disciples. Our glorified bodies will be completely free from pain and suffering. And these new bodies will be completely responsive to our will. No more strain or paralysis or lack of coordination getting in the way. If we want to do it, our bodies will do it. And we will be filled with a glorious light, radiating the beauty of God himself, completely wiping away all concerns for appearance, all worries about age or envy or worry. And that's not even the best part of what the future holds for us. But I can't explain all of heaven here. And so if you do not appreciate the gift of the Eucharist and of the other sacraments, if your faith is boring or you aren't sure what really matters, then consider what you know of where you came from and where you are going. Our history and tradition give us a foundation, a solidity you cannot find in this constantly changing world without that background. And our future gives us hope. Our God is Lord of both of them, the past and the future, and by them he shows us the path of life now. And so I ask you, what then will you do with the present?